We do today have 7 high school graduates, and I'm proud of them. I've talked to a couple. One thing I ask Tashira, if she's going into the Navy, and I asked her if she could swim. I thought that was important, and she assured me she could swim. And I don't want to give names out, but one of our high school graduates is even thinking about entering politics. Right, James? Y'all like how I did that, didn't I? I am convinced with every ounce of my being that our families are in danger. I believe society is attacking the family, and I do believe a large part of it, from what I have studied in the works of Karl Marx, is strategic. I believe our enemies would destroy our marriages. I believe our enemy would destroy our children and take them down a path of destruction. You see, our families are in danger. We today, and we send out 7 graduates. The question is this: are they prepared to stand against a culture that is worldly, humanistic, and antagonistic toward God and Christianity? Have we prepared them to make stands that'll cost them? I don't know. Time will tell, but I fear. Parents, we are today actually going to, although the outline for today follows what our students are being taught, this message is most assuredly for you. Because God holds you and me accountable for our children. That we are to train them up. We are to teach them the ways and the statutes of God and God's expectations. And we are to prepare them for life. Our task is to raise up our children to be successful in life. Their faith and walk with God is the most important thing in their life. I know that all of us, children and grandchildren, we want them to graduate high school. Now, for some of us who graduated high school, it was kind of a push at the end there. Right, Jesse? Kind of a push. But we made it. I made it. Jesse made it. And we think, well, they're through with school. They can continue their education or go into the service and get training. Then they can get a good job, make good money, get a nice house, nice car, have things. But if that's what you think successful parenting is, you're completely wrong. The most important thing is that our children grow up knowing Christ. That they grow up not only knowing Christ, but very soon beginning to follow Him and to live for Him. I fear that if our children grew up in a Christian home, maybe came to church, but today they are not walking with God, that we somewhere down the line have failed them. Our graduates today will feel pressure to conform in ways almost unimaginable to generations in the past. Today, if you will look on your outline, it says 7 checkpoints. Seven Checkpoints was developed by Andy Stanley at his church in Georgia. It is seven absolute essentials that we feel like every teenager, young person, needs to have when they walk out into the world. And these are absolute essentials. If they don't have a grasp on them, if they're not where they need to be, their likelihood for success with God is not very good. Now, we have grandchildren in Oregon. We've got family on the East Coast, so Ginger and I fly a fair amount back and forth. The last couple of years, we always fly Southwest. We do that because it's closer, less expensive, more convenient. Right, Amanda? Isn't that right? Amanda works for American Airlines, so she's not going to like anything I say about Southwest. But here's what happens, and here's what I want you to understand. When you fly, before you board that plane, the pilot is up there. And as you're boarding the plane and finding a place to sit, he's not up there taking a nap. Okay? You know what he's doing? He's going through an extensive checklist. Trust me, you want him going through that checklist. He's going through every system of that plane. He's in communication with the ground crew. He's in communication with the tower, because he wants to make certain before this plane takes off with you on it that it's going to make it to its destination. Now, just imagine you've boarded the plane and you're sitting there and you're all comfortable. And the pilot comes on and introduces himself, and he says, "I've gone through my checklist. 99% of our systems check out. But we do have a problem with one. Would you like to go ahead and stay on the ground while we fix it, or do you think we should go ahead and take off?" I think there would be a resounding "stay and fix it," because none of us want to be in the air and the pilot come on and say, "We've got a major problem." We send our children out. They have been under the umbrella of protection of our home. And we send them out into a world. We, in fact, almost launch them or fly them like a plane out into the world where they're going to have to make decisions financially, where they're going to have to decide who their friends are going to be, which means who their influencers are. They're going to have to decide about the person they bring into their life in a relationship, in a culture that is very mixed up sexually. They're going to have to make some very tough calls. And my question is this to you, moms and dads and grandparents, because you still, sometimes it's almost like a grandparent at certain stages of life has more influence than parents. Are you prepared? Do you think that your children are where they need to be? And I want to challenge you today. Us parents, and I've got three of my grandchildren sitting over here, there might be some things that you and I need to do differently if we want to make certain that our children and our grandchildren have a successful life. And again, I'm not talking about having things, but having Christ. Now, I want to share a scripture verse with you. This is from the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark 8th chapter, verse 36, and I'll share it with you at the end. This is Jesus speaking, okay? Don't just say, well, that's just the preacher preaching. Okay? Here's what Jesus said. If you gain the whole world, all right, that means a lot of stuff. If you gain the whole world but lose your soul, what have you gained? So I want you to understand today's message is simple. I want to talk to your parents, grandparents, church leaders. Teens, pay attention because these are the points Connie's been teaching you. That we might need to go back and do some things differently. Okay, here's the first thing that we teach our teenagers. Checkpoint one, authentic faith. Here's the scripture verse from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. When we think about authentic faith, there is one person in the Bible we must think of, and his name is Abraham. He is the father of the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, and the Muslim faith. All look back to him as that man of faith who, when God gave him a command, simply trusted God. And the Word tells us that Abraham believed God, and God counted that to him as righteousness. But what this tells us is this, that we should not trust our own reasoning. I don't know if you know this or not, but your heart is deceitful. Your heart will lie to you. Don't trust it. Your emotions fluctuate. Did you know that? Sometimes you want it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel bad. Don't trust your emotions. They will lead you down a path of no return. And don't trust your own reasoning, understanding. You don't have an objective view. It's like that plane that's about to leave the runway. You're sitting there as a passenger and you open up that real large window next to your seat and you look out and you think, well, everything looks okay. There's nothing in the way. Why don't we go? The pilot has a different perspective than you do. Don't trust your own understanding and reasoning. It is faulty. It fails. It's never going to bring you where you want to be. We have a principle that we teach our kids here. God can be trusted. He will do all that He has promised to do. In other words, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. We're teaching that to our children. But here's the problem, parents. Are you teaching it to them? Do they see you demonstrating faith? Because Connie can go up and teach them. They can hear it in preaching. But when they're home, if mom and dads don't trust God and they're all the time panicked with everything's happened, it shakes their very foundation of what they should believe. We also teach them a critical question to ask. Do you trust God with the critical areas in your life? We passed out these wristbands over a year ago. Still have them on the foyer table. They say God is enough. I know a lot of you wear them and you pass them out. My question is, do you believe it and live by it? Do you trust that even in the midst of the storm that your God is sufficient? Parents, I have a question for you. Do your children know your story? Do your children know how you came to Christ? Do they know your story? Have you sat down and told them personally? I think they need to hear it. They need to know why you believe what you believe. All right, I've got to go through these checkpoints quick or we'll be here a long time. Everybody okay staying a long time? Checkpoint number two, spiritual discipline. Do not conform, Paul tells us, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is according and what is His perfect will for you. Here's the danger our graduates are taking. James and Tashira, they're kind of on two sides of the auditorium here. When you go out into the world, the people that you meet and walk into are going to be trying to get you to conform to what they think you should be. If they think partying's okay, they're going to try to conform you, and I know you will face it, especially in the military, Tashira. It'll battle you. There's going to be this temptation to conform to whatever the world, how they think, how they want to spend their money. Paul tells us to not be conformed to the pattern of the world. In other words, that we should not act like the world and think like the world and value the things the world values, but that we should be transformed, and Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. And the only way I know of to renew your mind is spending time with God. That's spiritual discipline. That is taking time every day to find a place to pray. Taking time every day to open up the Word of God. And I hope that your radio station on your car is something that's going to encourage you in your faith and help you walk closer to God, not make you conform to the world's values. There's nothing as strong as the influence on the life of most people as the music they listen to. Spiritual disciplines, prayer, it'll do two things. It'll help you develop a godly perspective. It'll help you see things as God sees things. And it'll bring you into a deeper relationship with God yourself. And with the temptations our children will face, they need to have a close walk with God. And parents, you teach them how to do it. They learn from you. They don't spend time with the adults at the church day by day and sit with them through problems to watch. They learn spiritual discipline from you. The principle is this: when you see as God sees, you will do as God says. Parents, we need to live by that. The critical question: are you developing a consistent, devotional, and prayer life? And to the parents, I would ask this question: do your children see you pray? They need to see you pray. Very few of us, matter of fact, I certainly didn't. I never sit down with my children with a planned strategy to teach them different things about walking with God. I never did that. I also never sat down with them with a strategy of how to live their life or how to deal with people. And yet I taught them every day. Did you know, husbands, you teach your sons how to treat his wife by how you treat your wife? Most parents, when that baby comes along for the first time, y'all remember, No instructions, no guidelines, just a crying thing that messes on both ends. You don't have a clue what to do, so what do you rely on? What you learned as a child and experienced and observed. Parents, you are teaching your children about God and how to relate to God. They should see you with a Bible open and praying and studying. They should see that should be part of their life. They should see you on your face before God praying. They may look and think that's strange, but when they're going through a hard time, they'll think, well, I know what Mama did. I know what Daddy did. Maybe that's what I need to be doing. We're teaching them. They need spiritual discipline. Kids, I know that your phones are tempting. I know the temptation is to keep that phone in front of you all the time, but you need to put that phone over here somewhere to get along with God and hear from Him. Let Him speak to your life. Checkpoint number 3, moral boundaries. Passage here is from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Listen to Paul's advice to the church. And this is in contrast to the view of our culture. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, and that means any sexual relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman. That is the way God ordained it, and that is the way it works. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans. And friends, that's where we're going. Like those who do not know God. And in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of her brother or sister. The Lord will punish those who commit such sins, as we are told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject me or a man, but they reject God, the very one who gives you the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody here that's not aware of the fact that our entire culture seems to be focused on sex? Are you aware of that? By the way, it's not the first time this has happened. There was a culture, the Roman Empire. Same thing happened to the Romans, and it destroyed them. Parents, you're sending your children out into a world that wants to trip them and mess them up. And because of the innate sexual desire that God put for a man and woman to be together, to have children, He will take advantage. As a reminder, this is why we implore sexual purity, because it's going to be a stand against a sex-craved culture. It means that you stand with God, and it also means that you stand with your future spouse, that you say no if that's what you're being asked to do, because you know God will disapprove, and because you know one day you will sit down with your spouse who you'll spend the rest of your life with and say, I wish I'd been faithful. I wished I'd listened to God. Here's the critical question. Are you establishing and maintaining godly moral values? Question, are you establishing godly moral values? Saturday, June 7th is, am I right, or the 8th? 8th. Our son-in-law, Corey from Oregon, is going to be here teaching about some of these sexual issues. When I came up, a few years ago, wasn't that far back, although some of my preachers are getting old, it wasn't that long ago. It was all about the relationship between a man and a woman. Boys and girls. Am I right, guys? Culture today and our legal system and our elected representatives, God bless them. James, I want you to change some things if you get there, okay? All of a sudden now culture is telling your children, hey, you can like boys or you can like girls. You're called. You're going to start telling an adolescent who has all these self-esteem issues. They think they're not pretty. They think they're not attractive. They think something is wrong with them. That's why the boy doesn't like the girl or the girl the boy. And you're telling them you have options? That's like telling them up is down and down is up. They are so confused. Not only that, they're being told, hey, you can be both. I'm telling you, we've got to mix it up. And don't you think your kids haven't been exposed to it. I don't care how hard you've tried to protect them. And you need to know how to deal with it. That's what we're going to cover in this seminar. You need to be here. We're going to talk to you about the different questions and the different times you need to sit down with them to guide them through this mirage of confusion that is trying to reach out and destroy them. Parents, if you talk to your children and grandchildren, do they know what you believe? Because they're being told what everybody else believes. Do they understand the convictions that you have? Healthy friendships, number four, William. Checkpoint number four, healthy friendships. Walk with a wise and become wise. For a companion of fools will suffer harm. Would anyone with that say amen? Has anybody here ever walked with the fools? You suffered harm, didn't you? It's such a simple statement. Walk with the wise and you'll be wise. Walk with the fools, you're going to suffer harm. You see, choose your friends wisely, for the end you will be just like them. The principle is this. Your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. When you're in college, decide who you're going to hang with between classes. If you're in the dorms, you really need to look out who you're spending time with. Choose your friends wisely. Church, probably about the best place to do it. To share, I'm so proud of her going into the service, but I've heard stories, and I know that you're going to face a plethora of temptations. You need to be vigilant. Finding some other, especially young women, who share what you believe and share the convictions that you believe so that you can encourage each other. Because all of us need to have people around us who are going to help guide us and direct us. I know when I was in high school, it changed my life. I've shared the story about my friend Tony, who he and I were very good friends. Were the best of friends coming up, and how he died in Vietnam, not in combat, but of a drug overdose on his ship. When we were sophomores, Tony and I, we kind of had some options of who we could hang out with. there were some guys in our age group that were close by. There was Gary and Jerry and Lee. All went to church, but fun guys. They were fun guys. And I remember I learned to play ping pong going to church with them back in their fellowship hall. But there was another group. There was Carol, a guy. I don't think I've ever known very many guys named Carol, but Carol, Donnie, and I forget the other guy's name. They were kind of the party animals, you know. They wanted to get together and drink and just have fun and party. I chose to spend time with Gary and Jerry and Lee. Tony chose to spend time with the party crowd. He got addicted to drugs. Drugs killed him in Nam. Choose your friends wisely, for in the end, you will be just like them. And if you choose to spend your time with fools, you will suffer harm. The critical question is this: are you establishing healthy friendships and avoiding unhealthy ones? I think if there's any place I am so burdened is in this area of influence. Parents, are you helping your children develop healthy friendships? I was listening to a seminar speaker one day. You may know his name, John Maxwell. He pastored for a number of years. Now he writes books and speaks to church conferences. He said when he was a boy coming up, he said, I had the coolest backyard in the subdivision. He said, everybody wanted to come to my house to play. And he said, I did not know it at the time, but later on, my parents explained it to me. That's the way they planned it. They wanted to know who I was spending time with. They wanted to know who my influencers were. And from that gathering there, they would decide who I could spend the night with and who I could be with. They were very strategic in helping him build godly relationships and godly friendships. Parents, are you helping your children some way? And parents, please, if your child and you choose to send your child to a secular university, you better make certain they're grounded. You better make certain they know the Word of God and they're firm in their faith. And if they're a follower, I'm not certain I would send them no matter what scholarship they got offered. Not only will they face the pressure from students, but professors, many of whom, take joy in destroying the faith of their students. You need to be careful. You need to be so careful. Checkpoint number 5, I will speed up, wise choices. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Following God is about making wise decisions, godly decisions, from a godly perspective. We do not make decisions because for instant gratification. We do not make decisions because it helps us when it hurts others. I have seen children do without because mom and dad wanted something to make them feel better. It is a sad thing indeed when you see children doing without because mom and dad choose to spend their income on getting high. Or they choose to spend their income on something they just could not live without and their kids get to do without. They're teaching their children, you don't have to make wise decisions, just make decisions that make you feel good. Unfortunately, it always leads to destruction. Parents, teach your children about wise decisions. The next time you're car shopping, if you're smart enough to understand, new cars are very expensive because they depreciate rapidly. I will never buy another new car because of that rapid depreciation. Explain to them why you're not buying the newest and the coolest. Explain to them about it's about saving so I can have it for the future. That's why I'm putting money in the bank. Help them understand why you've chosen the house you're in. The principle is simply walk wisely. The critical question is, are you making wise choices in every area of your life? And again, parents, teach your children. If your budget is tight, anybody here have a tight budget besides me? But you spend a lot on entertainment, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this because most of us don't want to be embarrassed about it. Maybe you need to call your family together, set your children down, and you say, we're fixing to get off cable. Or we're going to have to give up the internet at home. And they're going to be shocked. What? Why? Why would you do this? Help them understand it's a wise choice because we can't afford it. I'll tell you if you can't afford it. I'm going to give you a simple litmus test. You can afford the entertainment you have today if you're putting substantial money into savings, because the unexpected will happen. And if you're able to be faithful to God with the tithe. If you cannot do those two, then you're spending outside of your income. And you need to draw it in. Money ahead for savings. It tickles me, these people. Oh, it's Christmas. I don't know what I'm going to do. Christmas, I got to spend. Did it surprise you? Didn't it come around last year about this time? You save for the future. You honor God. It tickles me, those people that will not honor God with their choices, but when they get in trouble, they'll say, Pastor, pray for me. I need God's blessings. Well, you need to put yourself where God is blessing, not keep asking God to bless your foolish choices. Parents, you need to teach your children wise choices. Share with them some of the stupid ones that you have made. Okay. Number six, ultimate authority. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, now Paul is, anytime you see the word therefore, you've got to ask, what did he just say? Paul has just told them of how good God has been and how gracious God has been and how loving God has been and how God sent Christ. Therefore, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, the cross, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. The principle is this: maximum freedom is found under God's authority. The critical question is this: are you submitting to the authorities God has placed over you? Parenting today is hard. Not only did the kids not come with instructions, the way our parents likely parented us is unacceptable by our culture anymore. Customer in my father's feed store asked him, he said, Bo, how is it your three boys never got in trouble? And yet I'm constantly getting mine out of scrapes. My father told them, he said, my boys were scared to death of me. Amen. He said they wouldn't have had the nerve to have made bad decisions and gone the wrong way. And he was right. Parents, you must teach your children to obey your authority. You must. And I don't mean after three or four times they'll finally do it. It's not going to work anyplace else in the world. If your children have to be told three or four times to do something and you have to scream or holler at them, you've trained them that way. And you need to figure out how to teach them when you say it, they need to move. I will tell you what my father did. I'm not saying it's right. I kind of followed that pattern. He would tell me, he would say, Ken, I need to have you go do so-and-so. Like most teenagers or adolescents, I would ignore him, pretend I didn't hear him, you know. He'd say, Ken, evidently you did not hear me the first time. And he gave me that benefit of the doubt. I've asked you to go do so-and-so. There was no third warning. You would likely have heard me crying and screaming down at the end of the block. But here's what I learned. When my parents speak, it's my job to obey. God wants us to obey Him. You teach your children that by teaching them to obey. When you teach your children to obey you, you teach them to obey authority. When they start school, they'll listen to the teacher. They'll listen to the coach. They'll listen to law enforcement. They'll listen to their boss and be successful instead of always having to demand their own way. We need to learn to respect authority. My question for parents is this: do your children yield to you as their authority? The final checkpoint, number 7, is simply others first. The principle is from Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset Christ had, or follow the pattern of Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on heaven and earth, and that every tongue will one day acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The principle is this: consider others before yourself. Yesterday afternoon, my grandson Simon, sitting over here, was enjoying his telephone. Any other adolescents here enjoy their phones? He was enjoying his phone, and I said, Simon, go with me. He says, Pops, where are we going? I said, we'll get to that. I want to teach you something. So he put his phone in his pocket, got him a truck, and we headed down to Baylor Hospital. He says, Dad, where are we going? I said, we're going to the hospital. He said, why? I said, I want to show you something. Well, the first thing, we showed him where he was born, because he and Ava were both born there at Baylor. And he wanted to go upstairs and see the babies, and I said, no, we can't do that. But I said, where we're going is upstairs to see Miss Rebecca Oliver. He said, who is she? I said, she's a woman in our church who's very sick. I said, do you know why I'm going to see her? He said, because she's sick, maybe to encourage her? I said, yes. I said, do you think I want to do this, or do you think I would prefer to be home taking a nap? He said, probably taking a nap? I said, yes. But we cannot do what we want to do in life. We have to think. I had him go up there with me. He stood there with me. I said, she's not going to talk, but I went to her. I encouraged her, prayed for her, because I just wanted to try to do the best I could to show him. Life is not about us. It's about others. While we were doing that, Stan and Andy and Kevin were over at Carol's building a ramp for her to take and use to get out of her house. It's on a hot Saturday afternoon. Why do we do it? It's not about us. Parents, you need to teach your children. It's not about them. The best way to do that is to get them involved with you doing something in service to others. The critical question, are you putting the needs of others above your own? And parents, do your children see you esteem others above yourself? I want to share the scripture verse I shared earlier, and then I have something. And what do you benefit if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Have we got the assignments for next week? Okay, treat Monday as a no-screen night and ginger night. It was hard for us this past Monday. We're like, what do we do? So we're going to plan this one strategically. But we didn't turn our screens on. We sat and talked and played card games, and I don't like to play card games, but enjoyed it. And second thing, sit down and go through these critical questions and ask yourself, am I living this? And parents, this is something that God has laid on my heart, and I'm going to share it with you. Many of you have children that are not walking with the Lord. They came up in church, and maybe they were active in church, but they are not walking with the Lord. And it should grieve your heart. Because I don't care if they have a big house and a nice car, if you believe what Christ says, they are facing a Christless eternity, and it is frightening. I have a suggestion for you. Four things. You might want to write these down if you have children in that kit. First thing is pray. You're uncertain what to do on Monday night? Pray. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren who are not in church. Spend time praying for them. Call out their name. Weep before God. Pray, pray, pray. And when you get through praying, walk outside and pray some more. Because you're asking God to get hold of them. And you need to pray. Second thing is straighten up your life. Many a young person leaves the fold of Christ because they've seen in their parents a hypocritical life. They've seen mom and dad come to church, but they have not seen mom and dad act like a Christian outside of the church. Clean up your life. If there's things in your life that your parents, maybe your kids have even questioned you about it, get rid of it. Whatever the cost, if you care about their eternal abode, straighten up your life. They need to see a change in you. Number three, resolve any conflicts and hard feelings. I am amazed, especially when sometimes I'm doing funerals and I'm sitting with the family and we're going over the obituary, that they'll say, well, this is her sister, Jennifer, but they never talked. Her mom's going to be here, but they had a bad relationship. I'm amazed in families, the broken relationships, that they don't love each other, that they don't gather together, and that hard feelings have been allowed to remain. I am amazed at that. When you and I, as followers of Christ, were told by Him, if you do not forgive them, that I will not forgive you. You need to take care of some situations. You need to humble yourself. We looked a couple verses back. Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to the cross, and died. You can humble yourself and tell your daughter you're sorry. You can humble yourself and go see your son and say, "Son, I blew it. Will you forgive me?" You can do that. And number four, schedule a serious meeting with your children. I would even suggest parents do it today with their teenagers. And here's what I mean. Not just supper, but you say to your children at home, maybe extended children, "I'm going to ask you to join me for supper Thursday night." I like the idea of supper. It's easy to talk over supper around a table. Maybe for you it would be, but you're serious. And here's what I mean by serious. It needs to have the tone as if you were about to tell them that you were dying of cancer and you were going to be dead in a couple. It needs to have that kind of tone. Because here's what you need to do. You need to gather your children together and very seriously say, "I need to apologize to you. I was not the father or the mother I should have been." And be honest and tell them why. They likely have never heard this from you before. Probably never heard it from anybody. Maybe tell them, "I have been a follower of Christ, but I have not been acting very Christ-like. And I need to apologize to you. And I need to seek your forgiveness. Because the most important thing in my life is my Lord. And the most important thing under that is you. And I want you to know him." And you know, and just be honest and forthright and humble yourself. And if you've done something stupid, tell them. They know it. If you've offended them, tell them. But it's not something that should be quick and hurried. You should plan it out. You should think it out. Especially if your children are out of the home and they're not walking with God, what you're trying to do is reestablish a relationship that they will talk to you. And you know, a confession can erase a lot of bad. Can erase a lot of bad things that you've done in your life. It kind of brings things back to square one. And don't say, "I need to apologize to you, although it was your fault." No. This is total humility. This is coming before them and say, "I was not a very good father. Maybe I was not a very good mother. I made the horrible mistake of not taking you to church." Parents, this is where they can gain influence to change their lives. You need to have them here. If they say they don't want to come, bring them. It's okay. If you have to drag them to church, drag them to church. Parents, we have an awesome responsibility. Awesome. Our children and grandchildren are the prize that we want to see successful, but they're also the prize that the enemy wants to destroy. Your choice. I hope that your heart's open to God and you will allow God to use you to help them. Keep these seven checkpoints. I'm telling you, they're vital in your kids' life. They're vital in your life. Would you stand with me just a moment? I'm going to ask you as we pray together. I'm going to ask you, if this has any way touched your heart, if God has spoken to you through this, would you step out and just come to the front that we might pray together? Just step out and come and let's pray. It'll be a brief prayer, but Would you come pray with me, parents? Would you come pray? Or the others, if you won't come pray for your children, pray. We need God's help raising these kids. You buy them what they need. Why don't you pray for them? Oh, Lord God, burden our hearts for our youth and our children, Lord. They need you. Father God, Father God, we stand before you in such need, Lord. Lord, our children and our grandchildren face battles that they are ill prepared for. We pray, Father, that first of all, you would put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, to protect them. Pray that you would bring godly influence into their life, that you would guide them into making wise decisions. And Father, we pray that in our lives, moms and dads and grandparents and leaders in this body of Christ, that we, Father, would take on that mantle of leadership and choose to lead our children and lead our grandchildren into righteousness and holiness, Lord, that they might be successful in life and successful in you. Lord, there's nothing more important. So, Father, I pray thy blessing upon them, O Lord. I pray your hand, O Lord. In Jesus' holy name, and that the Holy Spirit might empower, we petition you, Father. Amen. And amen. Thank you.